Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to Meltdown Comics in Hollywood, California. Harmontown is now in session. Please welcome to the stage the mayor of Harmontown, Mr. Dan Harmon.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Happy New Year, 2015. We're in Back to the Future's version of the future.
Are we all wearing metal hats and things like that?
Yeah, we got little LEDs. You have to choose whether you're a Lobo, a Squeeb Squab, or a Ziphead. What's the... There's three... you're a Trank, a Lobo...
Low-res Bojo.
Wait, do you actually know what's the...
Yeah, low-res Bojo.
Low-res Bojo and Flapjack? What are the three? That's Back to the Future 2 anyway.
Yeah.
YouTube recommend. I recommend YouTube. It's amazing. It's videos just direct to your computer. There is a... the next time you're like, oh boy, what do I... I got nothing to do. I got nothing to think about. My world isn't dark enough. This will actually lighten it up. There's these videos Schraub sent me. There's this guy. This is my new fascination, is the people who are like exposing things, like the Illuminati things, like the patterns that they see and stuff. You've seen the one that's like Angels in the Outfield. There's a guy who's proving that Angels in the Outfield is like a pedophile. It's like a pedophile spell that it's casting on you. And it just keeps like freeze framing going, look where his eyes are looking, right at the little boy's dick. And it's like the Back to the Future one is like fucking amazing. Like there's this guy who's just like, and he throws everything at it. Like he sees every moon landing, JFK, and 9/11 in Back to the Future. Like he literally says at one point in his video, the movie is crawling with 9/11s. As he's pointing them out, there is like a point, like for example, like when the DeLorean finally like goes back to the future and leaves the trail of 11 as it heads for the movie theater, and the camera pans back, and there is a fucking goddamn, if there isn't a goddamn 9, it's like some kind of like Western themed breakfast place or something with a lasso for a logo, and it's like 9/11. I'm a convert, but. The crazy thing about it is that the guy can detect every 9/11. If he sees JFK's head everywhere, but he doesn't know that there's a difference between Back to the Future 1 and 2. He keeps referring to him as the same movie. It's like, no, that's the second one. You're in the splash zone here, my friend. You're gonna get a little bit of what happens is the vodka has my mustache has a wick effect. I take a drink, the vodka capillaries up. And so then, whenever I have a explosive,
explosives.
The other day, I picked a pack of peppers. It's just vodka. It's not even spit. It's just pure vodka. It's good for you.
So if you sit in the right place, you can get fucked up.
Yeah. Especially him. Look at him. He's a pretty fresh-faced young man. I believe you could get drunk off of a little bit of aerosol vodka. That's a compliment. You're a very, very handsome little boy. If you want to watch Angels in the Outfield later...
Dan, is it me or is your beard achieving greatness?
I noticed backstage I can actually grab it with my fist now. Like, there's a thing here I can grab.
A threshold has been crossed with your beard.
I lost my trimmer at the wedding. It's somewhere in the house. I had my beard trimmer. I trimmed my beard for the wedding, and I haven't trimmed it since. So this is,
See, it looks trimmed though. It looks like you've manicured a nice Gentle Ben kind of beard.
I haven't. Anyways, what?
YouTube. We're talking about YouTube.
So just check that out. Just Google or YouTube, Yahoo. Use Yahoo. Back to the future 9/11. The JFK stuff is really interesting because the guy is convinced that the Hill Valley is identical to Dealey Plaza, and that that Marty McFly is standing where Kennedy was shot when he's looking at the sports almanac, and that in the window where you see the sports almanac, you see two different presidents portrayed two-dimensionally, but then you can see a Kennedy head that is three-dimensional, thus proving the point, which is that Kennedy is a transcendent, like multi-dimensional being, and his assassination has something to do with Back to the Future and 9/11.
Spielberg has done it again.
And the guy keeps cutting. He's gaga for the Twin Pines thing. Of course, he's crazy about the Twin Pines thing. And he's like, for some reason, now there's one pine. Motherfucker, watch the movie that you're. It's not a hidden message. It's the joke is that the. It's like, why is there now one pine? It's a bit. It's
Pine 11. That's been our show. Thanks, guys.
Right,
Thanks for coming. The thing is, that wasn't even funny. You guys are a real pushover.
They're a hot crowd. We gotta reward them. Gotta reward them for this heat. Gotta make some popcorn with this. This is the last week I think that the music is gonna be just a free for all copyright wise.
Should I just play Beatles all night then?
Yeah. But we're asking if you go to harmontownmusic.tumblr.com, if you're a musician anywhere in the world, really, there's already people that are giving us stuff that we can use under a term that they can agree to. We'll use people's stuff who let us use their music, and we'll be able to give you credit and stuff.
That'll be fun because I love being able to play whatever I want, but I would love to, if it was all Armenian music, that'd be very cool.
Yeah. Well, it'd be cool because, then you do a little thing, especially like stir me up a little hip hop pudding. You little hip hoppers out there within the sound of my voice, you could I'm sure that would be a real honor for your beats to be served up alongside my dropped science. Okay, so SimCity Build It is going on in the news. I'm playing it on my iPad, and you know how the Sims, they talk gibberish, Sim language? They go argar-bargar, There's a guy, every time you click on a guy that's gonna sell you something or buy something from you, he goes, pussy whips.
Pussy whips?
Yeah.
Pussy whips.
Yeah. Yeah, or lips. Yeah, check it out for yourself. It's free. It's free to play, so check it out. But of course, after a while, you might have to buy magic dollars to keep potatoes from taking a year to grow. It's a goddamn virus. This style of game, terrible.
Dan, I was driving here, and I had my iPad plugged into my car iPod thingy, and I forgot someone named Kyle Coberly. Does anyone know him? Kyle Corbelly? He sent us this. Harmontown. See, send us cool shit. We'll play it.
That seems like a little bit of some backdoor shenanigans. Like, that guy's a little more into you than me. Hey, man. Johnny Carson's on the show. Now please welcome
Ed McMahon.
Edward Anastasia McMahon.
Because Davis doesn't even rhyme with anything. It's a hard name to rhyme.
Selfie sticks are happening in the news.
I was you got back from Paris. I was at the Eiffel Tower like a couple weeks before you, and everybody had their goddamn selfie sticks.
Selfies be sticking. People be selfie sticking.
You got me, man.
I don't know, man. They were all over Venice.
Did you get the thing when you were in Paris where the people walk up? Do you speak English? And there are women that walk up to you. Do you speak English?
I don't talk to women.
Wow, that's a hard line. No, it's just like, you know, people are like panhandlers, but the thing is, you look American. Do you speak English?
A previous trip to Paris, I think I encountered, like, somebody came up and thrust a note into my hands that was like this long tragic tale of like my child is basically like a global kind of Born Identity version of I ran out of gas, my kids are in the car. But it was like much more like creepy, like, you know, why do I know where the exits are? Where's my safety deposit box? I can't even remember how we responded to it. You said yes, like that's happened to you. Like, what do you remember what it is? Like, what's the in and out of it? It's like,
they didn't speak English very well themselves, and so it seems like they had this kind of broken English written down, and it was, yeah, a soft story. And I was just like,
yeah, and you just kind of have to give the note back. You're like, here's your note back.
So selfie sticks.
Selfie sticks are happening.
Do you have one?
I don't have a selfie stick.
What's the point of a selfie stick? Is that if you don't have a friend to hold your camera?
I don't know. Well, the first selfie stick I saw was in Venice. And I thought, oh, this must just be something. Like, maybe it's canal based. Maybe people want to take. Maybe there's too many canals here, and maybe it's an adaptation, like a gondola. You know, like you can't take a good selfie. Like, too many people lose their phones over the canal. Maybe. But then it turned out, oh no, I've just arrived in Europe as the selfie stick has arrived on humanity.
Are these people walking around by themselves with a selfie stick, or are they with other people?
I saw a couple. I was walking in Paris behind a couple. Not even in like a touristy place, and I was behind a couple in an empty street, and they were walking and holding hands, and the man let go of her hand, took the selfie stick, extended it, got like a tracking like selfie stick shot of them walking just for a little bit, and then put it. They kept their heads forward.
Right.
While he did it, he got the shot and then re-telescoped
it. So they're just like, they're like Survivor Man walking down the road, like just like filming themselves?
I don't know. Yeah, it's just, I guess it's just they feel it's a better shot. I guess it's like a little jib for them.
I don't like it.
Yeah.
I'm against it.
Well, I did. Was it worth it, Adam?
Adam, if you had a selfie stick, would that have been easier for you?
Oh. I would, yeah, if everybody, next week, everybody bring selfie sticks and we'll do something with them. I don't know. It worked for Ellen. All right.
Would you get a selfie stick? If you had one, would you use it?
if I was able, would you get a selfie? No, I would not. I don't. I was definitely, I had a lot of opportunities to get a selfie stick.
If somebody gifted you one at work, would you ironically carry it around and then use it?
No, I would use it to see what the hubbub's about.
It just seems like a stick with your camera on the end of it.
Yeah,
it's stupid.
Well,
ask a stranger, say, take a fucking picture of me.
Yeah, well, I mean, maybe that's, I don't know. You don't have
an $800 phone.
Yeah, well, whatever he said is true, too. You both have your points.
Your beard has got me mesmerized. Your beard is really good. Also, the gray is coming in nicely. Like, you now have a properly gray beard.
It doesn't matter. He's Liam Neeson is He's Liam Neeson is in Taken 3, and he's somebody sent me a link to a LinkedIn like promotion where it's him doing his character saying like, oh, my name's Connor McJohnson, whatever his character's name is. Me and my friends have a particular set of skills. Skills like enhanced conversation. And then they'll cut to like a clip from Taken where they're like meeting people up. Aerodynamic persuasion, and then throwing a guy out a window. And then he goes on to say like, do you have a particular set of skills? If you send in your LinkedIn profile, a lucky winner will have me read their resume to their prospective employers, explaining their particular set of skills. He keeps saying particular set of skills.
For real?
Yeah. It's pretty amazing.
Why don't we try that? Why don't we get on that?
Go ahead. Yeah, that's what you're supposed to do. Do it. Get on LinkedIn and make a profile.
What is LinkedIn?
It's something that everyone outside LA uses. I don't understand it at all.
Job Facebook.
It's job Facebook.
Which is as exciting as it sounds.
It's a resume. It's like the internet equivalent of while someone's driving by you on a road, throwing your resume through their back window, so that they have it. Except unless you're hiring a backseat person, you're going to find it and be annoyed. You're going to be like, who put this garbage in my car or my inbox? The cool thing about it is that I'll see every once in a while, I'll get a LinkedIn profile, like a LinkedIn request from somebody like from like 12 years ago that was like a bigger shot than me and like now is like sending me their LinkedIn profile. That's kind of cool. It's like seeing them like selling selfie sticks on a boardwalk or something. LinkedIn. I'm sure LinkedIn is great for people, but I don't understand. You know, so it helps you if you stain glass, but you don't like to cut glass, and you send your LinkedIn profile out, and there's some guy that's like he only likes cutting glass, but he doesn't know how to stain it. I think that's the idea.
Did you enjoy your honeymoon? Was it fun?
Yeah,
because you guys went everywhere. You guys were in Dublin and Paris and Venice.
Yeah, I figured out why I love Dublin and Ireland because we went to like this Irish storytelling night, like it's a very touristy thing. Like in this bar, it was like you get a dinner and this lady stood in front of a fireplace and told Irish stories and sang songs and stuff. It was really cool, and she explained Irish history, and it kind of dawned on me, like listening to this stuff, why I fetishize Irish culture. It's because they're a European culture without. They didn't have a Renaissance. They didn't participate in this rich people bullshit. Like they're their own little thing. Like they don't. If you go back in their history, any other like European culture, it's like. If you go to their museums or whatever, there's going to be some like red suspenders at some point, like, or some like fancy pointy shoes or like a windmill hat or something like, oh, and then we did this. Oh, this is what we're famous for. He can do it to do like, look at us. Like we look like flower people or like we got perfume on our face.
What country is that?
The one I just described,
yeah.
Like all of them except for Dublin, you know, like the
country of Dublin.
I thought you said city. They're just poor potato people. They just grew with the potato. They're just dirty little people, and they had to.
I wish that was inflammatory enough for you to get letters about that.
No, they don't care because they've been
you
through
dirty the, potato people.
They're fine with that. They don't care. They have a great sense of humor. They don't. They're not offended.
I think everybody cares about you when you call them dirty little people.
You're wrong. We had our Irish friend Graham Linehan here last a couple weeks ago.
That dirty little guy. Shut up, Adam.
If you told him I called Irish people dirty little potato people, not on Twitter though, out of context, don't. But like he'd be like, that sums it up.
You said it in context though. You called Irish people dirty little potato people.
Yes, and so they're all of their songs and poetry and literature and things like they don't come out of any kind of nobility or anything. It's kind of like it's very nice. Didn't really dawn on me until I was really learning about it over mashed potatoes. They still love potatoes over there too. Their civilization exploded because of the potato. The potato became a thing like that they could do, and they grew in population quite a bit. And then of course there was the potato blight, and then like things got real bad for them, and. You know, the rest is history.
Can you sing a little Irish song for us about it?
that's what she would do. She would go like, "Oh, and there's one of the fairies of the potato patch was the Shin Lanin." The Shin Lanin was a lovely woman, would take the form of a very seductive lady. And she would come a-calling when the things and blah, blah, blah. And then, and there's a song about her. She know you. Well, that doesn't sound right. She sounded beautiful. I bought her CD. That's how beautiful she sounded. I don't even have a CD player. I just bought it because I'm like, make more music. I don't know. Keep making it.
There's a fairy of the potato patch?
No, I made that all up. that was one of the coolest things about Irish folklore was the fairy. I don't know, just the idea of fairies. Like we all have our understanding of fairies, like the Tinkerbells and the whatnot. They're always, for us, they're always small, and they always have insect wings, and they have like there's a very specific fairy like kind of image we get in our head. But the word fairy originally just meant it's just kind of these crazy like magical beings that are kind of 1 foot in, 1 foot out. Like it was pre-Christian mythology that got Christianized, but like the way that they Christianized it was to say that when Lucifer went down from heaven into hell, there were a bunch of angels who were like totally like, "Hail Lucifer, I'm gonna go with him right away." And then there were like the angels that were like, "Fuck Lucifer, I'm gonna stay up here." But then there were like the kind of like, "Eh, I don't know, I'm gonna see where the action is." Kind of wandering downward, and then there was like an angel that went to God and said, "Come on, give those guys a break. Don't make them go all the way to hell." And then God like snapped his fingers, and at the exact moment, you know, when he called, you know, it's like play it where it lays. So some angels were like, you know, in the ocean, and some were in a rock, and some were like had half of their head in a flower and their foot in a, you know, a pork chop or something. And, So like that's the kind of fairy you are, you know, like you're gonna pork chop for a foot and then like a flower for a hand, and then, but it's just like, you know, their fairies are like, they could be monsters, they're like Cenobites, they're angels to some and demons to others. And a leprechaun is one of those. A leprechaun is a fairy, Jeff. Did you know that?
I did not. What do they call the one that has half a foot in a pork chop?
That's a sin fire.
Did you enjoy Venice, Italy? How was that for
you? Did you know a banshee is also a fairy?
I did not know.
They're
that.
All fairies. Every monster you could name. Werewolves are fairies.
Are they?
I made that up.
How was Venice for you? Did you enjoy that?
Venice was cool. I got to walk around Venice like by myself on Christmas Eve. It was crazy because I didn't even realize until the daylight like how crowded that city can get. In the winter, it's pretty dead, which is why Peter Weller recommended it in his architecture blog, which Aaron read. The reason we went to Venice is because Aaron read this article by Peter Weller, who is not only RoboCop apparently, but is also a PhD in Renaissance architecture.
He's a huge history nut, yeah.
And is arguably more into Renaissance architecture than being into RoboCop. We were joking about, because in the article he talks about why you should go to Venice in the winter, why it's so beautiful, and so Aaron booked all this travel based on this article that he wrote, and we're going to a lot of the places that he recommended, and we kept joking we'll probably run into Peter Weller, but so we finished dinner on Christmas day, was it Christmas night, and finished dinner and went down to get our coats, and we were putting on our coats in this kind of coat room, and then in walks Peter Weller.
No.
Yeah. just froze, and Aaron looked at me, gave me this look that was silently communicating, should I? And I'm like, yeah, fucking go for it. Because I'm not going to talk to him I'm not going to go dead or alive, you're coming to Venice. All I'm going to talk about is RoboCop. Talk to him about fucking this bullshit you read him about. And she's like, excuse me, I'm sorry. We read your article about Venice in the winter. And he's like, and now you're here. he kind of held his hands out. And the amazing thing is, you have to understand, Peter Weller, while the beautiful Christmas miracle, this is it was fucking Peter Weller. But while he's talking to us, he's speaking in Italian to these, people who are putting his winter clothes back on him. And so as he's speaking to Aaron about Venice, he's becoming this old Italian man, because the cape and the scarf and the hat are going on all the time. So it's kind of RoboCop kind of came in, and it was and then talked to him, and then slowly became I don't know, he just started he became one of those cool old guys that walks through an Italian city at night, looking at a pocket watch and eating a panini. So he just talked to Aaron for 15 minutes or so about how cool Venice is and why he wrote that article, and I just sat there and stared Yeah, that's it. That's all. That's, you know, I don't know if Aaron's got a different version of that story, but
I love that.
It was pretty amazing. It was just a really magical thing. When something like that happens, you kind of gather it up in a little jar, and you kind of just want to run out right away. But you make it last as long as you can. You try not to overkill. You just kind of ran around the corner. And we're skipping, going he's right behind us, but gotta get somewhere safe so we can just crack up and roll around on the cobble, freaking out, repeating every word.
That's so good.
He had a purple cashmere scarf. It had to be a gift. It looked so odd. I think someone gave him a purple cashmere scarf for.
Bought it for a dollar.
He bought it for a dollar, Adam. It's.
I hate myself.
Wow. I'm sad that I got that joke.
Did you ever see the new RoboCop?
No.
Yeah, I saw it. So.
Did they stick with a new outfit, or did they redid the outfit?
Yeah, they redo it. Yeah, and they make a point of redoing it. Like they have a scene where a guy goes you should make it black. I don't even understand what they were doing. I don't get it. I don't like it. I don't like it.
I did some terrible movie that never was released with Kurtwood Smith, and he was in it. We never worked together, and he sat in front of me at the screening, and it was so bad. And I was freaking out because RoboCop Kurtwood Smith was in front of me. Mm-hmm. And at the end, he grabs me. I was dead on page 40. And at the end of the movie, he grabs me by my collar, by my tie, and pulls me toward him. He goes, boy, did they kill you too early. I got out when the getting was good.
Mm-hmm. Cabin Times? What was that called?
It was called Cabin Times.
Well, it wasn't cabin fever because that's a thing, right? Like
it was called.
It's something cabin.
No, it's not.
Cabin. Deadly cabin.
I wish it was called Deadly Cabin. It's called Evil Remains.
Oh, Evil Remains. : It's cabin time. It took place in a cabin.
There was a cabin for certain.
I've never seen that one.
Don't. It's a horror movie, and I went to the screening of it, and Kurt Smith is in front of me, and the other actors in the film, and they brought a bunch of people into the Lemley Theater, like in the Sunset Boulevard thingy, whatever the fuck it is, and it's so bad. I think the audience thought it was a comedy, and so then they just started laughing through the whole thing. But it's not a comedy either. But nobody thought it was scary either. So it became a comedy, and we were just like sinking down into our seats. And it was really bad. Really, really, really bad.
Well, all right, let's see what else we got here. I ran into a kid in Paris that learned English from watching Community and Sopranos.
Can you do an impression of what that would be like?
Well, no, I mean, there's no, you know, what do you, like you would say, bada, bada boom, a pop, pop, or, you know.
Meta about it.
meta about it. And there was another kid there, and he had this. Well, whatever. No one's interested in that. I've told it like three times, and no one cares. There was this other French kid that showed up, and he had an app on his phone that he showed me. I just thought this was kind of interesting because it's like, I don't know, it's a foreign people. We don't know anything about them. What are they doing? Like, how could your show that you write, had never having been outside of the country, you know, how could it ever be appealing to, like, you know, like people who don't speak the same language when they're in grade school and
did
stuff?
Did he watch it in French or in English?
Well, I think they watch it in English. Like I said, one of them would watch it with French subtitles on first, and then change them to English subtitles, and then eventually turn the subtitles off. That's something they do there. They're so steeped in English, like, you know, more so than we are steeped in French, that it's a little more natural for them to be able to do that. But rest assured, we are a lazy bunch. I can't do it. Like Aaron knows. Definitely more French than me, but like also I think there's this crucial thing where it's like, there's just a shamelessness. So you have to just be willing to speak wrong in order to ever successfully speak to someone who speaks a different language. You can't be like this held up by this like there's this fear that like seizes me. I just end up going like bonjour, le bacon.
Le bacon.
Sorry.
Good day. The bacon.
But Aaron would kind of like slide into the French Uber and just be like, "Zoko boko boko boko," and the driver would be like, "Huh? What?" But then like a couple minutes later he'd be like, "Hum, hum, hum, hum," and she'd be like, "Hum, hum, hum, hum." Like, I'm like, are they both doing a bit or they're like talking to each other about stuff? And then Aaron got like bronchitis. She thought she might have pneumonia, so she got up in the middle of the night. She's like coughing up a lung, and she got on the phone, and then she's like, I can't do an impression of it because it's like fluent French. I don't know. She's like speaking to somebody about getting a doctor. Like she called somewhere in Paris, like a regular person trying to get a doctor, and was like, "Oh, je suis très malade." Like, what the fuck? Jesus Christ, she's speaking French about dying and being sick and stuff. Like, it was like she took out sticks and made a fire. And then she puked at Versailles. I think we'll let her tell that story.
This episode is brought to you by ShipStation. If you run an e-commerce business, you know how much work it takes to produce something great while dealing with complicated shipping issues. That's why over 130,000 companies have turned to ShipStation, an innovative tool that allows you to focus less on shipping and more on building your brand. With ShipStation, you can manage orders, label printing, reporting, and customer service on one easy-to-use dashboard. You'll reduce warehouse costs with reliable enterprise solutions and save thousands on shipping costs with discounts up to 89% off. Plus, you can effortlessly import orders from everywhere you sell online. So, turn your shipping challenges into opportunities for growth. Go to ShipStation.com and use code POD to sign up for your free 60-day trial. That's ShipStation.com, code POD.
Yeah, I mean, you know, what else am I going to talk about? Who cares, right? Why don't we bring up my honeymooned wife, Erin McGathy?
Did you guys do it French style? You kiss both cheeks?
We didn't.
Are you all better now? You healthy again?
I am. Just recently, though, I still have a little thing in my throat. And today I did a Channel 101 pilot, and there was an older woman there, this actress who was brought in who I don't think knew anybody. And I coughed, and she had done some very nice woman, but she had done some very sick seeming things earlier that made me kind of worried about her health. Like there was a fog machine, and she said, "Oh, is something on fire?" and I said, "Oh no, that's a fog machine, and it's just vapor." And she was like, "Oh, okay, don't want anything to be on fire." And I was like, "Yeah, no one does." Great. But then 10 minutes later. She looked at me like she was looking through the pizza. Also, she was examining the pizza, which is strange. But she had eaten pizza and was just looking, seeing all the pizza. And then she looked at me and she said, "Is something on fire?" And I was like, "Ha ha ha ha." And she was like, "Is something on fire?" No, it's a fog machine. It's vapor. And she was like, "Oh, okay." But then 5 minutes later, I coughed and she said, "You need to get some help." So I guess I'm still a little sick.
Yeah, and everybody. You don't sound that good, in bed at night.
Ooh.
Oh. Oh no, we sleep together.
Ooh.
But we're not always sleeping.
Right, because she keeps coughing.
Then why don't you start living?
Ah.
Huh? Yeah, no, I was very, very sick, and I was very proud of myself for calling the French doctor. And the French doctor came and prescribed me some antibiotics, and they made me violently ill. And I threw up in Versailles after doing a ton of research and trying to convince Dan to go. And I was very self-righteous about how great I am about enjoying historical things. And I threw up right on history and was ushered out, escorted out while the tour continued. And I just slept. I didn't tell you this because I was very ashamed and I thought you'd be embarrassed. But when I was escorted out, I was so sick. And you know, when you're sick, you want to put your face up against something cold. And so I was lying in the courtyard of Versailles with my face just on the stone. Literally behind the Golden Gates where Louis the 16th first saw Marie Antoinette and the people of France looked in wanting to be there, because that's what the French Revolution is, right? That they, I'm just kidding. Anyway, I was lying on the ground at Versailles, but put my very fancy coat over me so people didn't think I was homeless, and it worked out.
Homeless people hate insulation.
Well, I was just like, well, I mean, because I definitely looked like there was something wrong, but I was on the inside of the gate, so I clearly bought a ticket, but people don't usually lie on the ground with their face on the stone at Versailles.
So you put your coat over yourself so that people just thought you were a corpse?
Well, I put it over my shoulder, and then I had out my little guidebook, so it looked like I was kind of doing something. I was very sick. You know when you position yourself in a sleeping position when you have to sleep and you want people to think that you're doing it on purpose? It was that kind of thing.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Well, have you ever tried to fake sleeping in a educational situation?
Like you mean putting your head down, like
in school you're sleeping, you have your hand on your face and just your head down, and then a book, and you learn how to hold a pen while you're sleeping, right. So it looks like you're doing something.
Yeah. I'm just glad you didn't make me go. I mean, I
you didn't go?
No, I don't.
But you said you don't. You're like, why would I want to go to some guy's house?
And the only answer is, ooh, this guy was really rich.
No, all right, I'm not gonna have this argument.
He told everybody what to do.
Yeah, that's so stupid.
So you didn't go.
No, I'm not gonna go to Versailles. What do you?
Also hates Paris.
Why is it so absurd? Because it's like we cut their heads off. Like we hated them.
We didn't do that.
We, being modern people, we turned our back on the idea of all that shitty fucking.
Yeah. Well, I wasn't going because I was like, ugh, the way they did the wallpaper.
That's not why people go.
I'm walking through and I'm like, ugh, this is where the royal court met for the last time when they said, you know, Louis XIV, Marie Antoinette, you have to stay here, you have to stay hostage because we have this big list of people who are going to be beheaded, and there, you know, these so many moments, and you know, Marie Antoinette is Austrian, and she's 14 years old, and she's married right away, and she goes into her room, and she's like, ah, this is my life, and my life is perfect, and my life is terrible. Oh, so many dresses, and she has no idea what's going on, and you get to be in these halls where people have been. I mean, but I care more about that stuff, obviously.
Do you think Peter Weller would have enjoyed that?
Well, of course. Yeah. That's what I mean. That's the amazing thing about Peter Weller is he's part Dan, part Aaron, all cop.
All purple scarf.
He cares about architecture. He was RoboCop.
Yeah, I mean, it's also magnificent.
What did you do instead, Dan, that day?
At that particular time, she was at Versailles, I found a bar I could drink in Paris because it was a British-themed bar. So it was just made to be like a pub. I can't, like it's hard. They don't have a burgeoning cocktail culture in Paris.
They do. Like I mean, I went to Paris for the first time. I've never spent any time there, like, alone. So I went there alone in the first week of December. And I had friends there. That are these Parisian rock and rollers. They're very cool. And they kind of showed me around the first night. And then I was on my own. And I kind of failed. I wasn't doing anything cool. I was seeing some sights, went to see the, you know, museums and whatnot. But like I was intimidated by the, I don't speak any French, except the how do you do's and pleases and thank yous and stuff. And I asked my friends, like, how come girls here just do not look at you? Like, as in New York a week before, people, like, flirt with each other. They make eye contact, and they look at you and either have a fuck that guy, or that guy's good-looking, or they don't care. In Paris, girls are gorgeous. Everybody's fucking skinny for some reason, and they're all smoking, and nobody makes eye contact. And my friend who's from there, he goes, Jeff, is a girl in Paris, she looks at you one time, that means she is very interested in you. If she looks at you a second time, that means she is going to fuck you. And I said, I didn't get the fucking first look yet. And then the last day I was there, I went to this fancy cake place, like this, like a gâteau, something, you know, like a what do you call it, patisserie? And really fancy place. I found out a way to get French girls to look at you: walk around with a really nice box of cake. I had a white box with gold lettering on it, and girls just like turning their heads. They want to know what's in that fucking box.
So did you?
So if they're.
Oui. Yeah. So yeah. I went to a club one night, and there was on the carpet, this place called Chez Castel, and on the carpet is all dicks, pussies, and tits. Like it's ornate carpet. If you look at it closely, it's all this weird horny thing. And down in the basement, there's this piano, and it was Serge Gainsbourg's old piano where he used to go play it kind of as his second home. And there's cigarette burns from his cigarettes on it. I went there one night, and there was nobody there. On the last night I was there, I met these people. and they took me. I went to La Perouse, this place, like right on the Seine, which is like from the 1700s, and like Victor Hugo used to go there. And I just did my old experiment of just going to a place and posting up, sitting at one place all night long. No one talked to me for 2 hours. And at the end, they're like, they kicked everybody else out. They go, you can stay. And then at the end, they're like, there's a girl there that I loved. She was so beautiful. And she actually made eye contact with me. And she was like the DJ there, or one of the DJs. And they took me, they're like, you come to this club with us. I go, should I like meet you there? And they go, no, you walk with me. And we went there, and down in the basement where I'd been before, now it's filled with people, smoky, people playing piano. Girls start taking their shirts off, and guys lighting cigarettes for them while they're dancing with their shirts off. It was so fucking French, I couldn't believe
they
it.
They were lighting the women on fire?
No, no. There was a girl, she took her shirt off, she's laying on the piano, and a guy that she doesn't know, it's a picture of it on my Instagram, and this guy, this really good-looking guy, lights a cigarette and puts it in her mouth. Oh. And on my Instagram, she's like, who is that guy? Like, she didn't know that guy. They all took me to this party afterwards where it was three girls, the girl who was one of the DJs, and these two guys in this crazy house. It was like if MC Escher and Frank Gehry made a really gay Parisian house together. Stairways that went nowhere. Then you have a push on a wall and the whole thing opens up, and some floors are glass. And you look through, you can see down to the bathroom, or you can see through to that room, but you can't see into that room. Yeah, you can look from one room into another, but some rooms you can't see into. The top floor is one giant bed. I get up there and they go, one of the girls goes, Jeff, you are gay, no? And I said, no. And they ripped my coat off, ripped my jacket off, ripped my tie off. And all of them took their fucking shirts off and started making out with me.
How is the pastry?
Huh? And then, so while that's happening, this guy comes up. This guy named Aurelion or something like that. He comes up and he lays down like 15 feet away from us, lays down sideways and smoking a cigarette. And one of the girls in French is like, Aurelion, do you go to my avec moi? Like, you want to come and join? And he goes, no. And just sat there smoking and digging it.
Wait, he was just...
He wanted to watch.
He wanted to watch.
So a couple nights ago, there's this... I was telling the story to some friends of mine. And because a friend from France was showing up, his famous hairdresser named Charlie Lemindu, who does like Lady Gaga's hair, and like he's like a super duper famous French hairstylist. And he shows up, and I just told the story, and I said, hey, you know La Perouse? And he goes, yeah, I do a night there once a month. I promote a night there. I go, oh, I was just telling them about this girl. And he goes, was it Ambre? I go, yeah. And he goes, yeah, she rapes all the men. It was fucking French. And my car came at 8:30.
It was fucking French.
They had written all over me. I had writing all on my arm and on my face and my neck and my shirt. They kept writing on me. Like, this is the back of the pocket square. And I got to the airport, and I was just covered in writing. And the French guys at the airport seemed to, like, that was just another day at the office for them. Like,
It does get very French in Paris.
It does. It's like these French have got a different word for everything.
We were there on New Year's Eve, and in this, I had some friends that we ran into from New York, and we were in this club at like up until 5 a.m. And when we walked in there, we were like, oh, cool club, and it was all red, and the music's terrible.
Paris?
Well, I mean, sure, not across the board, but where we were, it was pretty bad. It was like a whatever the what it's called when you type it words into a website and then it gives it back to you.
Translation?
Yeah, like a translator, but what you want to say, like a Stephen Hawking, like automated. I know there are many like obvious words that are I'm forgetting. Anyway, we were in this place where this DJ was typing words into like some sort of like child's toy or a deaf person's toy, and was playing it with like a heavy beat underneath, and everyone was really into it.
Except for the deaf people.
Yeah.
Ironically, even we though would, their life is a game.
Yeah. We
This is the one time.
I mean, it's a choice. But we're at the door, and I speak very little French, but I was at the door and like spoke enough French to the guy that somehow like we got into this club that was like a private party, and everyone's dancing, and then everyone's making out, and then people are taking people's faces and saying, "No, you make out. No, you make out." Like, we're not a part of this. Like, we're very obvious. We're just watching all of this happen. But everyone is, there's this, just this very free energy. And at a certain point, I was like, are we at like a very special free club? But I think it's just like a French thing. Yeah. But the height of it was when a guy came downstairs who looked like
a jolly old elf. And he had this sack full
he
of
looked
presents.
Like when you watch, if you were to watch a biopic about a very famous hairdresser from the 70s, this would be that guy. He came down wearing a beret. Which they really well, and it was crazy, like it just seems so on the nose.
They do wear berets.
They wear berets.
I heard one totally non-ironic ooh la la.
I went to McDonald's and they said bon appetit. And I was like,
Wait, I have a question. Why did you go to a fucking McDonald's in Paris?
Oh, well, because everything was close. We went because the kids that Dan met at that bar were talking about it like it was the most amazing restaurant in the world. And I thought it was funny. I did it.
The kids call it McDo.
But anyway, this guy, the guy's wearing this beret, and he comes down into this dance floor, and this club is called Bonnie and Clyde, and it's in the Pigalle, and it's like the cool like hipster club, and the bathroom was crazy. The bathroom is crazy because you like wait in line for the bathroom and you get to where like it would split off into like men's or women's or two stalls or three stalls. There's one stall that has a door and then there's like a trough or urinal, but it's like right there. So if you're standing in line and a guy just has to pee, like he'll stand there and pee. But the more shocking thing about this, it became if you were a man who had to shit, you had to wait for this other thing. And I learned very quickly, like I learned a lot of French for, I am so sorry, I am going to shit before you. Anyway, this guy comes down with a beret.
And take someone's butt and go like, now you shit over here. And you pee in his shit.
No, it was just weird because like, it was weird for a second, but when I say weird, I mean it was actually like this really like neat human moment where it was like, yeah, we're all in this together. Like knowing when a man has to shit, but then also the women get to maintain this mystery of like, you don't know what's gonna happen in there for me. But like for a man, like it's like I poop will be coming out of my butt, and that is why I am waiting in this line, and poop will come out of my butt before you do whatever mystery you'll do in there. Anyway, this guy came down.
You guys had a very different Paris experience than I had.
This guy had a beret and a cape and came to the middle of the dance floor and a long cape and not heels, but men's heels. Like when you see pictures of like restoration heels, like French restoration heels, like they were clearly men's shoes, but he was wearing heels and just started very sincerely voguing. And I was looking around and no reaction. And it was amazing and beautiful. And like, he saw me looking at him and then was like, all right, this is the time when I do this for you. And I just sat there while this man voked for me.
While you're waiting to take a shit?
No. No. This is in the dance room.
All right.
All right, well.
Paris.
Yeah.
So, Dan, thumbs up, thumbs down on Paris. What do you like?
I'm not a Paris man, but, you know, I wasn't a New York man for several New York visits, and then Dino showed me the Dino side of New York, and now I love New York. Someone will have to, you know, Paris is very intimidating to me. I absolutely have no, like, I don't funnel my fear of Paris into me going, oh, Paris is shitty. I think the deal with Paris is, if I could totally make a bunch of sweeping generalizations and speculations, is that, like, even though it's a city that everyone on the planet wants to go to, unlike other cities that everyone on the planet wants to go to, they've refused to succumb to the tourist industry, the tourist culture. Like, they all know English, but that's where you get that stereotype of, like, well, you have to try speaking French, otherwise they don't like you. Yeah. I finally got that when I was there. I was like, I think putting myself in their shoes, I was like, oh, suppose you're Paris and you just want to be New York. Like people in New York don't bend over backwards for people that don't speak English.
In my experience, like, going to Italy, people, like, throw their arms around you as a stranger. And also, Paris is not all of France. Like, south of France is very different than being in Paris, where people, like it's more provincial and it's less, like, in Paris, people are busy. They got shit to do. Like, and also, being an American doesn't charm them. That's not enough on its own to be interesting to them. They got shit to do. I went to go buy a razor because I left my razor in New York. And I went into a very busy, like, drugstore. And I found the razor. And I was hoping that I could just walk up, put the razor on the thing. She would type it up. I would see a number. I would overbid on euros. She would give me a lot of change, and that would be the end of it. And she goes, she rings it up. I put the money on. She goes, I said, je comprends pas. I don't know. And she's like, why not? Like, in perfect English, I go, je ne parle pas le français. And she goes, like, why? I said, j'espère qu'un jour je parlerai bien le français. Like, one day I hope I can speak French well. And she goes, un jour? Like, one day? Like, you're fucking, she's like, you're here now. I go, lady, give me the fucking razor. And she fucking died laughing. Like, she loved it. Like, they'll give you shit, you can give them shit back. Like, I was like, I just said, I hope I go, one day I'll speak French for you. And she was giving me shit back. Like, they're not mean. They just got shit to do. I think that they're quite charming there.
Well, I think there's just also, it's a city that people go to have, like, fantasies and dreams and things. Like, but it's not, like
barfing in Versailles.
Like, when you go to Venice, every other building is either a hotel or a purse store. It's obvious that, like there's not, obviously tourism is, like, it's infused the culture. Like, if you're gonna roll your eyes at the idea that you have visitors, then you're an idiot as a Venetian. I think, like, the die is cast for them. And for Paris, they're like, look, I understand that you're in a waking dream because the Eiffel Tower's over my shoulder, but right. I got shit to do, and I'm not being a prick to you. I'm just saying, like, when you wander into my bar and you're kind of like, you know, you're just in a different mindset as a tourist. You're like you're off work. You're not working, and whatever. We've beat this horse dead. But I think there's just cities that make that choice. Like, it's a binary thing almost. They go, like, okay, let's face it. People are coming here to visit.
I could see you liking it, because I think that's kind of the great thing about it, because the thing that's a turnoff about the touristy stuff, obviously, is, like, the selfie stick. So you have to buy the selfie stick. Take the selfie stick. Yeah. But it's kind of neat to just kind of...
If I get comfortable enough, you know, it would be several, like, visits, whatever.
What I was blown away by is I had that box of cake, and I went to I went to a little cafe and said, like, near the Eiffel Tower. I asked a waiter, is it okay if I eat this here? And he's like, only if you share with me. Like, everybody wanted in that fucking cake box. I had two little
this
cakes.
Is the story that blew Jeff away. The story where he went into a sex dungeon.
That was
a petite déjeuner. So I just like that the precursor to that, the cake story, was this is what blew me away. This is what blew you. You were at the airport and it said, like, whore on your forehead.
You should write a new manual for men to replace the game, which is such a pile of bullshit, just called the box of cake. And we can just see men carrying around beautiful boxes of cake.
I went to the museum where all the Les Invalides, where all the
Dorsay.
where like Napoleon's tomb is, where all the armory and all that shit is. I walked in there, and then I went. I didn't finish all the cake, and so I went into the
You sat at Napoleon's grave with the cake, and Napoleon was like, "Oh, you going to share that with me?"
I was in Napoleon's tomb with my half-eaten cake, and then I had the box, and then I went. I went across the road to the Musée Rodin, and I wanted to see the statue of Honoré de Balzac. And so I walk in there, and these two security guards come charging at me. And I'm assuming they're going to go, you can't bring food in here. And they're like, what is this? And I opened it up and showed them, and I was, is it okay? And he goes, and they're like, one guy's like, no, it's okay. You can bring food into the thing. And the other guy's like, no, you have to give it to me.
I was like, did you give it to
so
me?
I was like, then I for €2, you walk in the fucking Musée Rodin gallery, and you're out in the fucking garden, and there's a fucking Le Penseur, there's the Thinker by Rodin, and I'm fucking eating my cake, and no one gave a shit. Like, you couldn't bring cake into a museum in the States. It was the best. And then girls walk by in the smoke, and they fucking want to know about that cake.
Was this cake made out of diamonds? What kind of
cake? It did. Oh, it's so good.
See, come on, we keep a tight schedule on this show, and we got important shit to talk about with Spencer Crittenden. Bring him out.
Oh shit!
Hey guys, you know, wouldn't you believe it? I read a fucking article about men carrying cakes in public. And it's a great way for men to get the female experience of always having eyes on them, you know? Because men aren't traditionally stared at by everyone, whereas women are, and it's really hard to kind of fathom that experience of all this constant attention. But when a man is holding a cake, they get all that attention.
Are you on PCP really right now? No.
His mic's just a little up, I think. But wait, doesn't this imply that all women are Kathy?
No.
Did you say you read an article? Did you really?
Oh, yeah.
For
I read
real?
An article.
I love that.
Yeah.
Are you being glib or did you really
no,
read an article?
Why would I make up an article that I read? No, this lady, she was like, it's probably really hard for you know, guys to fathom what it's like to always be contemplating, you know, gazes on you and to how that changes your behavior and just the way you hold yourself and the way you walk. And then her partner just was by chance carrying a cake and noticed that everyone was staring at him and they talked about it. And she made this not exactly scientific test where she got guys to carry various baked goods in public. Mm. And like a plate of cookies, you know, no, nothing. An exposed cake? Oh boy, look out.
Like a birthday style cake?
Yeah, like on a stand.
Do you think does the article talk about, is the idea because it's because of the psychological ramifications, the mystery behind it, or is it because everyone just wants that cake?
I think that they said it was part of that. It was both. It was some people wanted the cake and wanted to make jokes about getting the cake, and other people seemed like they just wanted to wait for someone to drop the cake.
Well, a lot of times when men look at women that they want to fuck, it looks like they want to eat them.
Yeah.
So it's comparable.
I don't know if you guys, Dan, you don't strike me as a person that buys flowers.
9/11. I love the idea of someone walking in for the first time and being like, what the fuck? Celebrating 9/11. Dan actually buys flowers very frequently.
But if you walk down the street like in a busy like New York or Seattle or a big town, walking down the road with flowers in your hand is aphrodisiac to everybody. Like everybody likes, or it's like people just like, oh, that guy thought about something, somebody else.
It was my diet's cheat day yesterday, and I went to a Froyo place, and I got the biggest bucket they had, and I filled it a quarter of the way through, and then I put all peanut butter cups, and then I filled it another halfway through, and then I put all peanut butter cups and a little bit of crushed peanut butter cup, and then I filled it the rest of the way through, and I was just walking through Las Feliz with like, it was obvious that I wasn't like taking it to a family. Yeah, it had one spoon in it.
Well, and what did the side of it say? It says something like, just for me.
Yeah.
Treating myself today.
Yeah, a special day or something. I don't.
It's a novelty.
I think it's a cousin of the concept because of the prop I was carrying. I did feel like all of this extra meaning to every. I wasn't allowed to just be in a shell as I walked past people. I wasn't allowed to just be anonymous. Like I had this prop, and so I was a story to everybody in every window. It was like, yeah, laugh it up, you fuckers.
That's just what boobs are.
Yeah. Now you know how I feel. It's like I'm covered in frozen yogurt all the time and candies.
So
I say in the Garfield dress.
So I mean, like, I don't know what's happening to me right now. We've been talking forever about the trying a different game from my childhood, my high school days called Shadowrun.
Yeah.
And Spencer's been like reading the books, and like I've seen him outside my writer's room, like sitting there reading the Shadowrun books, getting very excited. And we're not gonna play it tonight, but we're also not gonna play D&D, and we'll get hey fuck you people. If you want to know how it feels to get that kind of reaction, take a tray of cookies and wear them like a necklace. And then maybe you'll start to get it. But they can't be oatmeal, because that's...
It's the most masculine.
Yeah. Put a pickle behind your ear, like it's a pencil, and you're like a handy Smurf. And then on the other ear, just dangle a piece of pizza.
Or wear a sign, wear a sign around your neck that says, I forgot your cookies.
Right, yeah.
That pencil was way too big to stay tucked behind that guy's ear. It's like a giant ass, it's like a microphone-sized pencil behind his ear.
But you don't know how stiff Smurf cartilage is.
It can't be that tough. Like,
can I just point out very quickly that there's a man in the audience whose laugh is identical to Judge Doom's laugh, Christopher Lloyd's character in Roger Rabbit, right after when you find out he's a cartoon and he's turning into a cartoon and he like has that maniacal laugh. Dustin Marshall pointed that out backstage.
How's that laugh go?
Like that. Well, I don't want to do that. That's not what it sounded like, and that sounded like I was making fun of you. But you're that, like,
is it a good laugh? Are you enjoying this laugh? Are you?
I mean, I've gone through. At first, I was like, huh, and then I was like, oh, and then I was like, oh, neat. Okay, great. We're all. And it's the truth. Yeah. Now I love it. Now it's like being covered in yogurt, but my yogurt for my own in front of a mirror. I'm not walking down the street. I'm in a room with mirrors, and I just am seeing my own yogurt.
Yogurt's a lot grosser when it's not frozen.
Covered in my own sugar-free Greek yogurt.
Spencer, do you have other logic problems with the Smurfs besides the size of handy?
Yeah, Smurf? I mean, there's just the one lady Smurf, right?
Yeah.
And
yeah,
they don't Smurf they lay that. Eggs?
What? Okay.
But you know the Lady Smurf was created by Gilgamesh. What's his name?
That's even more. Yeah, isn't that even
Gargamel?
Gargamel. Well,
Gilgamesh. They took that from Gilgamesh.
Gilgamesh would be impressive if it was. Yeah.
Did they come out of the mushrooms?
She was created by Hammurabi Smurf.
Where did it? Do they come like?
I don't know.
Where do they grow?
I know they're three apples high. But didn't they
are
also,
they?
What, yeah, they're supposed to be three apples tall.
Those are giant fucking mushrooms then. They look like they could be easily crushed underfoot. But three apples, man.
Those are huge mushrooms.
Well, that's no, like a yeah, dog mansion size. You can tell from the Pac-Man cartoon that they definitely ripped off Smurfs. Like the they had a Gargamel figure. I can't remember. God, what was his name? Mesmeron? Maybe.
Are you sure the Pac-Man cartoon?
I didn't like that Pac-Man had hands and feet and had gloves on for some reason.
What's he supposed to do? What's the cartoon supposed to be? I'm not sort of a rhetorical question, but what would that cartoon be? Like, he's just floating in space and he's like, well, I ate one dot. Like, time to eat another one. Like, how do you get 100 episodes out of that? Like, what do you do at Christmas? he had to have gloves.
You
and
have
like
a ton of dots.
Yeah. I mean,
they weren't just gloves. They were like kind of like gauntlets. Like, yeah, he had like big fancy gloves.
Cartoons always seem to be wearing gloves.
Yeah.
Because hands are scarier.
You could just draw the hands
are like nature's gloves.
Like the glove. And then you could not have the little wristy part of the glove and you'd have a hand.
I didn't realize until we were creating...
The hand fills out the glove shape perfectly. That's why it's that shape. Sorry.
Oh, I bet I know why they wear gloves. Maybe because in the old days, like cell animation, like the color, the way you made things move is by putting like transparency on top of transparency. There was always like a color differentiation between things that are moving and things that are static.
Yeah.
So making sure that anything that's going to be moving a lot is like a different color than the thing next to it, maybe is like a good idea. Just a thought.
So.
Right. Right. So if
I think now it's just convention, you know, it's just cute to have gloves.
Of course, because we all grew up on animation. But you're saying, is that because it's a different cell? Because we've all seen those like Scooby-Doo cartoons where it's like they're walking by a mountain, and you're like, gee, I wonder if there's a secret door there because it's like, you know, it's gonna move, so it's like different color. Different, just slightly different shade because it's like through the. Did I tell you guys I drove with an Uber driver who was like a He-Man, the second biggest collector of He-Man cells?
The second biggest?
Second biggest. I love that he knew he was the second. I was like, who's the first? And he knew his name and stuff. I was like,
was he angry?
Yeah, I was like, are you guys enemies? He's like, no, we are, you know. It's like, he's like, you're cringer or whatever. So, anyways, I didn't know until we did Rick and Morty that you have to pick the number of fingers when you do a. You know, Justin and I had to sit down, and Justin's like, okay, it's time for the finger conversation. How many fingers are human beings going to have? And the thing, I was like, well, fucking five, motherfucker. And he's like, well, take it easy there, cowboy.
Five fingers runs into money.
like the Simpsons have four fingers, don't they? Yeah. Anyways,
it's
weird.
Like 25% more fingers you have to draw.
Yeah.
It adds up. I mean, it's budgetary minded stuff.
Yeah. Well, I'm not.
All right, so Garfield Spencer, has four.
Spencer, have you played Shadowrun before?
No.
What's your impressions off the bat of Shadowrun?
It's a great system.
I believe that. The Shadowrun universe is...
It sure is, Dan.
We'll be right back.
Squarespace helps you make your own website.
I'm here to talk about bonobos.
It takes place in the dark future of mankind. Corporations have taken over the government.
Mega corporations.
Imagine that. But in addition to all that far flung future business, where you know there's all the hacking and the laser swords and the implants and the bionic things, there has been an awakening. An awakening has happened along the way.
Yes.
In addition to the world going to shit just for regular conventional reasons. Like there was an awakening where magic returned. People started deforming, turning into trolls and elves and goblins and orcs and things.
And there's dragons and stuff did I read correctly that there's a dragon that gave an interview?
That was Dunkelzahn, I think, if I'm pronouncing that right. Dunkelzahn. He became the first dragon president.
It's my mom's maiden name.
It's true.
It's Dunkel.
It's a good name. Now, Zahn means son.
Now, before we embark on this, are we saying goodbye to our D&D campaign for
Don't say goodbye.
I'm glad you asked.
Say good journey. Oh, sorry.
Oh. What does good journey mean, Dan?
Just a reference to the Dolph Lundgren He-Man movie from
Doesn't Okay.
Dan's the third biggest collector of He-Man.
If you actually look at a bird's eye map of Castle Grayskull, it's identical to Dealey Plaza.
Yeah. So that's a great question, Jeff. I'm glad you asked.
Thank you, Spencer.
I don't really know the answer to that. Actually.
I feel like it's easy enough to put on. I mean, we don't have to set our D&D stuff on fire. That story's not done, obviously.
Well, you don't know how I DM then.
Oh.
Ooh.
It's all fire. Okay. Yeah, okay, so set it aside is the answer to Jeff Davis's question. All right, yeah.
Put a pin in it.
Do you want me to...
Can we introduce some special guests tonight?
Yeah, I'd love that.
I mean, I don't know how he feels about being pointed out, but the guy from Homeland is here. Can you come up and just wave to everybody? Remember, is he a president or a terrorist? That was a bit. He just looked like the guy from Homeland to me.
Good.
I can't help you there. I've never seen the show.
Well, sorry, that was a misfire, I guess.
No, you have to do two more.
I know there's a young lady, young compared to me, who's it's her 30th birthday tonight. Somebody tweeted me about their 30th birthday. Are you here? Do you want to be looked at? Do you want to come up here and be looked
like a
at?
Piece of cake? What's your name?
You can say no, by the way, but
no, Laura.
No, Laura. Okay, you're coming up. Okay,
Laura, everybody, happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Laura.
Happy birthday to you. Dan, have I told you my fix on that song?
Eddie Murphy.
I have a fix on the Happy Birthday song. You go, happy birthday to you. That's it. You're done.
Know.
You go, happy birthday to you. Then you fucking move along. Hello, Laura. Laura, you a big Lakers fan?
No,
Laura is wearing a purple sweater and a yellow
sister
skirt.
Actually pointed that out that I look like a Lakers fan, but no, I don't like sports. So
are you from LA?
I'm from Chicago.
And you pilgrimage down here, up here, down here. Okay.
Over.
You didn't just come for Harmontown, right? You had Hollywood signs to look at stuff.
My sister lives here too, so but yeah.
So,
and to look at Aaron's skirt because it's amazing.
Thank you.
Are you scared to be old now?
You're 30. You look like you're 19. Right?
30's the new 19.
I think you go through a process when you're getting to that age, and you kind of go through it when you're like, oh shit, I'm 29. Oh no, and you know. Get over it.
I just turned 30 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago.
Yep.
Happy birthday to you. We have the best audience of all time tonight, by the way. Fuckers are up for anything.
is there a wish that we could help you with?
Oh, no. I've got a funny thing to tell if someone is...
looking
is 25 years or younger.
I'm that.
Yeah. Who is John Bobbitt?
Oh, let me tell you about John Bobbitt. I don't know.
Yes, it works. It works.
Oh, really?
Do you know
is
who
that
John, thing? Yeah, yeah. Do you know who John Bobbitt is?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Lorena Bobbitt?
The guy that got... Am I going to learn when I'm 25?
You'll be taken to the woods and... I'll tell you who John Bobbitt is to me. He's the most guaranteed comedy sports suggestion from during the 3 year period.
Is that the guy that had his penis cut off by his wife?
Oh, it's horrible!
Right?
Yeah. It's horrible.
A few years ago, he did a porn.
So everything's fine.
He got his penis reconstructed.
Did he do that 25 years ago?
No, it's just a funny thing that a friend of mine pointed out that anyone under like 25 does not know that story.
That's fascinating. I want to know why.
Well,
what happened 20 like when
it's
when
no
what's
longer
the time
and people
frame?
Aren't talking about it.
Yeah, yeah, I know, but when why aren't they? When were they?
Because when it happened, you were too young for your yeah. parents to tell
no,
you about a guy whose dick got cut off.
When did it happen?
Oh, it happened like early
Oh, 98.
No, earlier
good
than
year.
That.
94.
So 94. Someone knows it.
And why was it notable?
She threw it into the woods.
Yeah, it was just like a highly publicized like true crime type
I've
thing.
Read
it's the
like
same reason
six
why
six or seven stories about crazy mishaps involving penis severings. I mean,
well,
I
it wasn't a mishap. She followed through.
It sounds like a mishap.
I heard about a woman. I don't know where I heard this. Maybe this is a thing that everyone knows about, or maybe something that just happened to someone that I like, a friend of a friend. Some a guy, the woman didn't like him. She was mad at him, and she super glued his dick to his stomach.
It's awful.
I think that was dialogue from Reservoir Dogs, wasn't it? That's what you're thinking of?
I don't know.
Is that Harvey Keitel told the story? That's a very interesting concept, though, that you could pick a random thing, or not a random thing, a very decided thing, because that's the thing you're looking for, that there's a... There's a momentum to pop cultural zeitgeist, and the John Wayne Bobbitt thing, like the foam of that surf, like stops just before the toes of someone at a certain age. I think that's very interesting.
Do you know about Nancy Kerrigan and Tawny Harden?
Well, let me tell you about Nancy Kerrigan. Wait, was that figure skating?
Yeah.
Yeah. My roommate watched a documentary about that I was listening to.
It's back in the news, but had you heard about it before the documentary thing?
When I heard the incident, I was like, oh shit, this was big when I was like 7 or something. Like I definitely heard echoes of it, but yeah, I don't really, yeah.
Doesn't it seem a little bit like maybe this is an illusion of we're in between them? Like I remember the last one I can remember is like Octomom. Like there's like when there's this thing that has no stakes to global society at all, but it's just like everyone's talking about it because it's just like when you focus in on it, it's everyone just wants to talk about Octomom. It seems like we've been in this reverse oasis of or sandbar of like are those days over? Because
I think
no.
You might just be working too hard. I mean, there are a lot of, I'm not doing it bad. I mean, there are a ton of like true crime things that are constantly in the news. Casey Anthony was pretty recent.
I don't think Octomom's a true crime thing though.
Well, she was like, I don't know. Well, she,
I guess
it
that
was
counts.
Like a legal
I mean, it's,
thing.
It's,
like
it's,
she was
it's,
in a,
I mean, it does count because it's like relative to what should be important to anybody. It is one human life and it shouldn't, it's like, yeah, our decision to focus in on it. Yeah. Casey Anthony was a thing. I guess those just pop up once in a while. It just feels like we've been through this patch right now. It's just fucking like darkness.
Oh,
like,
I see what you're
just
saying.
This river Styx of like oh, there's Bill Cosby's head floating. I can recognize that, but like everything is just moreover just kind of like real. Like everything's kind of real.
Right. Well, and I didn't want to imply that the Casey Anthony story was fun.
No. It's not fun. It's like not hard to. But no, there's bigger fish to fry than 350 million people focused on one verdict of one case, to be sure. So there's like these things that pop up. I was just wondering, it seemed like but I think that's how you remember time. Like if I look back through the 80s, I'll remember like all of those things, these little maypoles that we danced around, and I won't remember like the lava flow of actual society.
Stuff just also like turns over so much more quickly than it used to.
Right now, it's just like I think with every passing day, it's like I don't know where the tipping points are or where they've been, but it just it's like it seems like I almost want to like they're gonna invent some phrase for it now where you can't even exist as an entertainment like kind of person, like you have to make a decision in your life whether you're going to dip a toe in that river or not. Like you have to have a relationship with it, because it's like there's just too much available reality now. You can't like there's a camera on everything. Everything is documented. All of the goo is seeping up. It's all available to us. I could tweet like hey everybody, like we're gonna have a sock hop tomorrow night. We're gonna have a good old sock hop.
Sock hop.
And I know that somebody out of 350,000 people that are like looking at that, I know that someone is gonna go, That's a little bit of a bummer considering that someone got strangled by socks yesterday, like, or that you know, socks, like hashtag sock slaughter, like you know, and I'll do a little Googling and I'll be like, you know what? Come to think of it, my relationship with the word sock does need to change. Like I fucked up. I'm not being that guy that's going like give me a break. Let me say what I want. I'm saying
you're
the
just saying
world
that
is
Irish people are dirty little people.
They're dirty little potato people. Yeah. I'm gonna get one of those mouth swabs and mail it in so I can. I hope I'm one of them. I hope I'm one of those dirty potato people.
What is your heritage? Your lineage?
I don't know. I gotta find out.
You don't know?
I want to be a dirty potato person.
Let's do it. I'll get us some
swabs.
Mine's pretty clear. I'll get you a swab.
Yeah.
What do you think you are? You must know something.
I feel like I must be pretty Irish, but and then beyond that, pretty Polish.
What if you found out that you were straight up 100% Parisian? you get a letter from the company and they're like, Mr. Harmon, no, a knock on the door, sir. We've never done this before, but we've never gotten a test back that's so conclusive. You are from this cafe.
They printed. Your father is Victor Hugo.
Let's say I forgot the birthday girl's name.
Laura.
Let's do that thing that we do for everyone's birthday.
Give me some vodka.
Oh, okay. Yay.
That a girl. Pour the gal a drink. Woo! Laura, we asked you, do you have any wish fulfillment? Do you want to live in Los Angeles? Are you visiting here? Or?
Just visiting.
Yeah. You want to stay in Chicago?
Yeah, I work for a nonprofit there, so I'm having a good time.
What do you do?
I teach English as a second language, and I help immigrants and refugees adjust to life in Chicago.
Wow. Yeah.
Oh, is there any...
Don't coddle her.
Don't enable her. there's too many people speaking English as a second language.
I feel like you're
cheating. Where does it stop? Pretty soon it'll be taught as a third language.
I feel like you're cheating at the, oh God, am I doing something that really matters at 30 game?
I don't get paid very much if that makes anyone feel better, so.
All right. Well, happy birthday, Laura. Let's. I don't know. I'm bad at.
Per tradition, as you walk back to your seat, Dan is going to list every major event that's happened in the last 30 years.
Right. Also, spanking machine.
which we call Jeff's apartment.
All right, yeah, for each of the 30 steps back to your seat, I will recount the world in pictures.
Laura, everybody. Thank you, Laura. Thanks for coming
out. Thank you. This is the best birthday gift.
1985. Bill Clinton is 1987. 1988. Bill Clinton is 1999. Bill Clinton is Bill Clinton. Bill Clinton. She walked so fast. It's just a blur of Bill Clinton. That's all I remember.
Did you say Bill Clinton is 1999?
Yeah.
All right, so Spencer, shadow run, lay it on us.
You guys are great at segues.
Well, what we have to talk about is what kind of characters we would like to play.
Yeah. There's a way you guys got to make the characters. So in general, there's kind of five roles. the roles are kind of like classes, but they're not really. There's not strictly classes in Shadowrun. So the first role is the face. You know, he's the guy. He's like Jeff Davis. He knows people, and he tells stories, and he talks, and, you know, he's that guy. He know, you know.
That's a role?
Yeah. Whenever there's a crew of people in a movie, in a caper movie, they go to a guy who knows some people.
Oh, he's the face man.
That's the face. Okay. Yeah, exactly. Well,
because the word, the title of the game, Shadowrun, comes from the idea that in the future there's the corporations control, like, the world, the mega corporations. They can have their own armies, and they have their own law, and the world's just kind of a mishmash of craziness and alliances and stuff. And there's these mercenaries that dwell in the shadows that can, you know, if you need something done and you can't do it through legitimate channels,
they're like the A-Team.
You go to these people, Shadowrunners.
Face Man's an actual character from A-Team. Is there a?
It's all. It's like the.
Can I be B.A. Baracus?
Yeah, you can. He's a troll.
Is he?
In Shadowrun,
he's a troll.
Yeah. I don't make the rules.
Yeah.
Okay, so what else? You got the face man. You got the troll.
No, trolls are a race, Jeff.
You said there were no races, classes.
Yeah, there's no classes.
Okay, so the classes are what?
Sorry. Okay. There's the face. After the face, there's what I hate to refer to as the street samurai. That's essentially a guy who owns weapons. Yeah, they're the muscle, you know. Sometimes they got rocket launchers, sometimes they just got swords and sticks and shit, but they use them for tasks.
Street samurai?
Street samurai.
So they're fighters with weapons.
Yeah.
Okay.
Then you got the Decker. That's your hacker. That's kind of like the whole thing about the future is, instead of the internet, they got the Matrix. And the Matrix is like this virtual overlaid world. So, like, if I was looking in the Matrix, I'd see like a virtual mic stand and like a virtual table. And then it would be all like, this is a mic stand made by Sony Corp. And, you know, it's all virtual reality sort of thing. And then the Deckers, they hack that shit. They have these little portable computers that can do illegal stuff, and they can steal money and, you know, do hacking things.
Gotcha.
Like hackers would. I don't know. They could disable your cyber eyes or something, you know?
My cyber eyes?
Yeah, if you have them.
That's a make of car in Shadowrun.
You can get cyber eyes.
Lots of people
game.
Have like implants, bionic implants.
Yeah.
Okay. So we got the face, the street samurai, the Decker. Who
the
else?
The Decker. Then you got your rigger. A rigger is like a hacker, but they work with vehicles and machines. Because in this far-flung future, people don't really know how to drive. Everything just kind of drives automatically using this thing called Grid Guide, which is essentially like if you had to do what Waze told you to. So it's just like that. And so no one knows how to drive unless you, like, spent time learning how to drive. And then the advanced people are riggers, where they can actually jump into the internet and control vehicles from the inside, like go in and be the vehicle. And they also control drones, which are robots and stuff. So that's the rigger. Then you got your magic users, which are broken up into your shamans and your sorcerers, as well as your adepts. And shamans are like, you know, they pray to spirits, and that's where they get their magic. And sorcerers, they're just wizards and shit. And then adepts are like, they're like people that are really good at stuff in a magical way. So, like, if you could punch through a wall, that would be because you're, like, magically strong. But you couldn't, like, shoot fireballs and stuff. That's five, right? Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
I have some more questions about the adepts.
Yep.
Like, so are you a certain kind of adept? Would you be like, I am like a muscly adept that punches through walls?
Or? Yeah. Like, there could be an adept who's like a master with a swordsman. So, like, if you think of a swordsman who could, like, slice a grasshopper in half with his eyes closed, that would be like an almost magical level of skill. Or if someone could, like, be so good at card games or shooting guns or something that it really, you know.
So is it like shapeshifting without shapeshifting? Or are you like absorb, like, you get to absorb?
Like it's like Neo in the Matrix, I would say. I tried, Adam. Yeah, I tried. I got one.
I said one thing that wasn't dumb.
I tried to help you. Anyway. Yeah, no, adepts. Like, adepts are like, there's a guy, you know, he's maybe an assassin, and he's got magical abilities that augment his assassinship.
Ooh. Okay, I see.
But maybe there's a better, because there's probably a permutation of the class system that allows for just about any kind of character you would want to be. So it kind of begs the question, like, what, you know...
Yeah, so knowing what little I've told you about the setting, if you had a character concept, that'd be a great place to start. So, like, if I was in the world of Shadowrun, I'd be, like, the well-mannered nerd who knows enough but not enough to save his own ass. Or, you know, like, something like that. You start...
So we have to size ourselves up?
Yeah, you start with like a tagline as your character concept. Yeah. You know?
Jim Nightblade.
Yeah. That's a character concept.
It happened. I wish you were 15.
You were a big fan of that movie Lucy, I remember.
That's my favorite movie ever. That movie's the dumbest piece of shit ever. So, but so exhilarating.
Ten minutes before the end of that movie, Aaron said, "God damn it, why does this movie have to be ending?"
I don't know the last time that I felt that.
You wanted Scarlett Johansson to keep turning into
more black
goo.
I just wanted them to start improvising. Yeah, like her go through the ground and then the earth. She starts juggling the solar system and then eating it.
In that movie, they make the big deal in that movie, which is Asian guys with guns, like a totally no stakes deal. Like it's about 20% of her brain, she can just make everyone in the world fall down, right?
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
like for another hour and a half after that, it's like, now what's she gonna do?
And can she?
Well,
she can
you can always make
everything.
Everyone fall down, like that thing you do where you just kill the planet
and then teleport.
Aaron was saying, is this movie gonna end with her like taking the sun out of the sky and throwing it at a guy's head? Yeah, Lucy, you should check it out.
So Spencer, really, so the job of these shadow runners is like they're kind of like guns for hire. They're the people that like,
yeah, they do illegal stuff. The whole thing is, okay, there is this incident that happened where the Native Americans they formed their own state and they stole nuclear warheads. And they're holding the whole world hostage. And as a kind of a result of that...
Spencer, really
quick. Too soon.
Really quick. When Spencer sent this email today explaining all of this, and then I had some questions about like the attitudes towards the other races. And in the email, you said, well, you know, like everybody hates Native Americans. And I thought...
That is not the diction I used.
I thought that like your understanding of the world is that everyone hates Native Americans. And I was like, holy shit. And I just like let it go. But this is a within the world.
That is not the diction I used.
I feel like Native Americans have been getting a free ride in this country for too long.
He didn't say anything. But I thought...
I didn't use those words exactly.
No.
Everyone in the world of Shadowrun is racist against Indians because, you know, they took the world hostage with nuclear weapons.
Okay. And what,
like terrorists.
I'm not familiar with that. And did that resolve?
Yeah, you know, they shot missiles, but the missiles didn't get to where they were going. No one knows why.
Oh.
So then, as a result of that... The governments of the various nations were like, shit, man, you companies, you need to be able to protect yourselves. And so they started hiring private armies. And then they got this thing called extraterritorial status, which basically meant that corporations set the rules instead of the governments. And then they formed their own government called the corporate court. So as of that, all the corporations started rewriting the rules and started getting all the money and started making everyone kind of into this... You know, these dystopian wage slaves. So when everyone is kind of just slaves to corporations, and corporations only have to play by the rules that they set, when they don't want to play within those rules, they hire shadowrunners to do stuff like murder politicians or steal high-tech shoes. Those are going to be your first two missions.
Yeah, like a shadow run is one of these covert operations, and shadow runners are basically mercenaries.
Okay. Yeah. So, like,
so meanwhile, we have cover our jobs, covered jobs.
No,
it's
I
like
mean,
we're
you
like,
might.
We well, moonlight as shadow runners.
Well, in the thing is, in the world, you need this thing called an SIN that's essentially like a credit card number that everyone has. Well, it's like a credit card and a social security number. It's what the government's used to track you, but shadow runners don't have those, so they can kind of live outside of the world or outside of the law. But as a result, they can't actually have jobs in the normal way. So the only way they make their living is with crime and with doing these runs.
If you are, you're outed as a shadow runner, are you imprisoned? Like, is it illegal to be one?
It is illegal to be one, but that's why they always use false IDs. So you'll probably be running with three or four false IDs. So if someone's like, oh, that's Kyle Robertson, where you're like, I'm James Jamerson now.
So mystical name.
It is illegal, but they have ways around it.
Oh, you know who would be helpful in this is Demorge Brown. Is Demorge Brown here?
Demorge? Demorge, you here? Yeah.
There's a really big Demorge Brown fan over there.
Hopefully not too big.
I thought if we're gonna make character, are you gonna be here next week?
You don't have
I'm
to
scrolling
be.
Through my schedule right now.
Well,
yes.
It doesn't matter. Yes. I just wanted to get the pudding stirred here a little bit. We're making characters.
Now, do we have to decide right now, or should we sleep on this and go home? Should I do some more research and think about this more, or should I fire from the hip and pick a character?
I mean, I don't care.
I think for
the presentation of it, maybe we should come up with character ideas, and then if you change your mind, we could go from there. Just for the audience,
like what you're saying when you were describing those five roles. What you mean by that is like that.
Those are kind of skill sets.
In order for there to be a successful, like, kind of typical mission, like, you kind of want those points covered,
or
like,
at least a couple of them.
Right. Yeah. So.
So what is the face man again? Like, he's the guy that you go to for what?
He just knows people. So if it's like, oh, I need to be smuggled into the sewers of Borneo,
maybe
a guy knows that. Yeah, he has a cake box. Maybe he knows, maybe he has a guy who's high up in the business. So if you need to get some business intel, he knows what's going on at the Shiawase Corp, for instance.
So he's like Huggy Bear and Starsky and Hutch.
All right, thank you, Demorge.
He's like that thing that he said.
Demorge, your hair has become tremendous as well. Yeah, you have the Dan Harmon beard of hair, right?
I think it's all... Just letting it fly, man.
It's good stuff. Yeah. Is it easy to maintain? How is that?
Just let it sit there. And when it needs to be reordered, I pull it all out. And it curls back in on itself over the course of a month.
I like it.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, I'm going to be the face man of the group. That seems pretty obvious.
That's obvious.
I thought that would get a bigger laugh.
I've never been a magic user. So I'm tempted to be a magic user because I've never done it.
All right, so do you want to be a shaman or a sorcerer? Shamans kind of, they revere spirits, whereas sorcerers are like, this is a science to use magic. They function.
Who wants me to be a shaman?
Yeah!
Who wants me to be a sorcerer?
Yeah!
I'll be a rigger. Fuck it, I'm a sorcerer, Spencer, I'm a sorcerer.
All right.
So who's confused about the vehemence of the opinions? Oh, nobody, okay.
But also there's race, so there's dwarf and human.
I want to be a black sorcerer.
Okay.
or a dirty Irish potato sorcerer.
I mean, so there's human and orc and troll and elf and dwarf. There's black, too.
I imagine an elf sorcerer would be pretty good at being a sorcerer, right?
Yeah.
Who wants me to be an elf sorcerer? Who has no opinion? I'm a Decker.
Should Spencer, could you as a GM, could you give some advice on like what would make us happiest as individuals when choosing
yeah.
what we are? Like, should we
are you
be
saying
choosing...
what character would you like to kill off less quickly than your other character?
All right. should we be choosing characters that fit? I don't know. Like, your opinion. Obviously, there's not a right or wrong.
I mean, if you think about a character in like a TV show, it's like that could be summed up in like a thing, and then a character like that might be appealing to you. So it's like, oh, she's the bubbly girl next door. Like, that could be like a kind of concept. So whatever appeals to you as a concept of a character you might want to play, even independent of abilities and stuff. That's,
and do you
that's
think,
what I'd recommend.
Do you have an opinion about whether people are most, I mean, like, because there's two philosophies. One is you play a person who, like, you could never be in real life. And then the other is to, like, kind of play a mythologized version of what you are in real life.
Yeah.
And they're both valid, like, for role playing. But, like, do you, what do you do when you play?
I play as little girls, man.
Really?
Yeah.
Perfect.
too soon.
No, I play as characters. I exclusively play as characters that are skinny.
Well, okay, so. So, do you play?
They can jump higher.
Do you play as? But I mean, like as far as personality goes, do your characters tend to be more like what you want to be, or what you aren't, or what you dare
I like
not be?
Characters that let me utilize intelligence. You know, like yeah.
No, but I mean, as far as your relationship to that character, what should I do? I'm saying, like,
I'm going to make a decision for myself right now, only because I think this will be fun. I want to be a 15-year-old girl who is an elf sorcerer.
All right.
Yeah, I want to be like a young high school girl age.
Well, Aaron, like,
kind of like a disenfranchised, disaffected, like little punk rock chick.
Great. Well finally, teenage girls have a voice.
See what?
When we're playing, I mean, what do you tend to find yourself doing? You know, like you certainly craft a lot of things. Like you like to find.
I'm torn. Adam, what?
I think you might enjoy playing a Decker / Rigger because there's a lot of go with it and make stuff up in hacking.
Yeah, I was kind of thinking that too.
Taking the existing world. I would agree with that. Like, okay. Oh, could I make that car do this? Or yeah.
Okay. Cool. Well, I mean, part of me really wants to play like something that I'm not, that I would really like to be, like a really short, strong immigrant man. I did not expect that to get a laugh. I feel like that's obvious that, like, deep down inside.
It's just funny how convicted you were. A lot of phrases that are funny when you just say them.
But then obviously, like, I really like crafting things and coming up with different things.
Maybe you should start with a name first.
Oh.
What country did you immigrate from?
Oh, just like a... An Eastern European country.
Well, good news. Most of the Eastern European countries have been buried by radioactive sludge. So there's great reason to emigrate from them.
Emigrate is a 21st century form of immigration where you send yourself to a computer.
What I think, within the game, the things that I enjoy the most are, like, my character, like, pretending to be something or trying to talk to people. I guess, I don't know, I just like talking to people about how
that's
they
like,
feel.
That could be so like which the, of that could be like the face man, you know? You'll
oh, really?
You'll stroll okay. up to the security guard and be all like, hey man, I'm here on an inspection. And then you'll roll some dice and maybe he'll believe it.
So that's always my favorite part of the adventure is when Aaron is in charge of go ahead, Aaron. Go talk to the guy. Okay, yeah, yeah. All right. So you're just, yeah.
I mean, well, that would probably be a disaster. Everyone would be really mad.
Entertainment is a disaster. It's what you enjoy.
Okay, well, I like talking to the other characters. I also like magic. Can I be a magic face?
There, like we were talking about adepts, there's like an adept face might be like a guy who or a girl who's like so charismatic and beautiful that it's beyond, you know, the normal world.
I think we have a winner.
That's a yes. That is a yes.
I mean, like people are like, I mean, how did that happen? I mean, look at that face. Yes. Yes, I would like that. Yes. Okay,
Okay. Okay.
Harmon, what do you want to be?
I'm just gonna go. I'll just go with my old, like, when I played Shadowrun the first time. Like, I you know, if his name is Jim Nightblade, that's fine.
Oh, return it, Jim Nightblade.
I guess he'd be a street samurai category because it's just more of like an assassin kind of.
Yeah,
guy.
He'd probably just have a lot of gear and stuff.
Yeah, like specialty in stealth and like killing. Yeah. Quiet, 5 o'clock shadow. Very, very sexy, obviously. Totally unintentionally.
Yeah, I'm not gonna physically describe them. So.
You'll get there. kind of ripped. And
you have like old doodles of Jim Nightblade in your journal.
Yeah, I will
photocopy and put on t-shirts immediately. That is a promise. If I find a doodle.
World weary.
Write down any of those things. That'll be like your duty to bring to the character, you know?
Yeah,
I'm just going to write down like 6, 4, 13, you know, numbers and shit.
What's left, DeMorge? You can't be black.
Oh, can I be? Would I be? Is there some sort of cross between a street samurai and then almost like a hagiograph, like a person that can read a mood, can shift with the mood as the situation changes, or can sense a mood change in the situation before it gets there?
Like he's highly perceptive
or empathetic.
Yeah.
Yes.
And if we were going from A to B, and in between that there were several different types of people to encounter, or maybe is there somebody that would be like, since they can't have jobs, that they would have?
We said you can't be black.
Ooh.
I'm not even. I don't get it.
I'm standing perfectly still for the people who can't read this at home. You know how characters in that world sometimes they have these underground jobs, like they're the greeter at a hotel, or they're a greeter at a casino, some underground casino or something, but they have all this other information. So for people in that world, they have one face. For people in the know, they do something completely different. And they always have this sort of broad personality for the people in the regular world. So, hello, hi, how are you? That kind of thing. And then out of the other side of their mouth, they're whispering vital information. People are doing something else. Is that...
So they're like, well, read? I don't...
At the street level, maybe.
Is that a charisma thing or a...
Well, I mean, it sounds...
What about
like
a street samurai that can convince other people that can change form in front of other people.
Change form?
Talk about like the newspaper guy from Men in Black.
I'm a street samurai.
Yeah, that's a thing, definitely. It sounds like what you're describing is just a guy who has this
like
personality
a precog
trait.
That can walk around.
Like a what?
Like a precog that can walk around.
I don't know if there's anything like that quite. There's not really psychic abilities so much as magic.
Okay.
Sorry.
So just a street samurai. That's
it. All right.
I'll be an everyman.
We got to figure out your guys' races, though. What race do you want to be, DeMorge?
I want to be Norwegian. And my name is Hordegard.
So, like, there's humans and dwarves and elves. And then there's orcs and there's trolls. And any one of those can be from Norway.
The second one.
There's dwarves?
I'm a dwarf, yes.
Okay. Yeah. A Norwegian dwarf.
I once had a dwarf.
He's an elf.
A dwarfling.
What about Dan and Aaron?
I want to be from British Columbia.
Okay.
And I want my name to be Mercy O'Donnell. And I want my race to be, I think human.
Okay.
Mercy O'Donnell, the human from British Columbia, with the face that you've never seen. It looks like a picture of the galaxy, and you're like, how did they take that picture? But it's a human. It doesn't actually look like the galaxy, but your relationship with it is like you're looking at the heavens. I am very excited.
I'd like to be human.
All right. And I'm going to be a 15-year-old girl named Juna, who's an elf sorcerer. All right. I think we got everything settled then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, that's good. So, do we have a show next week?
Also, my character wears Converse.
Is there a
what,
show
what
next
Earth
week?
Race
is there
are you?
Back there? No. Yeah, there is a show next week. No.
Oh my god. The fuck?
No. Okay.
I guess there's not a show in 2 weeks.
Sorry, yeah, we're getting a rocky start coming back from the new year, so there's no show next week, but then there's one the week after that. How about that for
So what do we have to do between now and the next show, Spencer, in terms of character? Do we have to roll stats and stuff like that?
No, I'll take care of all that. Just think about the characters you want to create and their backgrounds and what their interests might be, you know, stuff like that. Now, you're like a super magic guy, so you probably don't want a lot of like robot parts.
Girl.
Yeah. Girl. But the rest of you guys, think about maybe also what kind of robot parts you want. Like maybe if you want
to have robot parts?
A metal spleen. No, you don't
what
have to.
What is that based on? Like, how are we making that decision? Why would we want a metal spleen?
Because it's the future, man. You can have laser eyes and shit. I don't know. That's part of it. If you want to have a robot arm that has like a laser eye in it. If you want like an eye that shoots lasers,
drinking fountain in your thumb, or
I can't be robotic because I'm a magic user.
Yeah, it fucks up your magics.
Ah, good.
Yeah,
yeah. I love this.
So think about those things, and I'll work on making the characters. You know, backgrounds, your histories, what you do on Thursday evenings. Stuff like that.
I eat lingonberries.
What does Jim Nightblade do on a Thursday evening?
He just looks out at the futuristic cityscape and wonders how it got to this. Over a vial of blue liquid.
Are we returning in 2 weeks with a presentation or poetry about our characters? Or
you have to write a theme song.
That's not up to me.
Yeah, no, that would be great. Like we should do like old school like Mazes and Monsters. You have to like introduce your character.
Okay.
I am Haryana of the. Yeah, I don't know. We'll figure it out. We'll
two
do
minute
it.
Presentation. Any medium we would like.
Except PowerPoint.
Except PowerPoint.
I also feel like structurally.
We have a quad projector.
I hate PowerPoint.
We?
So is the gameplay the same as D&D?
I mean, for you guys, it probably will be.
Yeah, it'll be pretty familiar. I would like, on our side, I will take the step toward like improving things by, I think we'll try to do is move the gameplay session into the middle of the show so that we're not always like rip-roaring drunk and it's not like the thing that we save for the end. It's like a thing we do at the goddess point of the story and not the the end, so that we can, yeah, I don't know, just a thought.
All right.
That way it'll have a little more consistency. I'm always so fucking drunk by the time we play D&D, like I never remember anything.
Dan, would it be okay if we did, and when I say we, I mean me, would it be okay if we, because I don't want to speak for everybody, but like if we did maybe have a presentation in 2 weeks of our characters, would that be okay?
Yeah, that's fine. And also it's a visual medium now, so any incentive to, yeah, if you have a hat,
some dancers.
If you have a hat or something that... that you put on when you play the character, then that's all the more reason to. I see Jane is here, brought Earthshine. I'm glad I didn't.
I've been drinking the absinthe, and I'm high as a Georgia pine over here.
Pine 11.
This shit is fucking wild.
I have to write a song for Community tomorrow, so I shouldn't.
You said that like you were going to say like, wow, I'm supposed to mow the lawn tomorrow, but it's something everybody cares about and is excited about.
I have to feed the baby tomorrow.
What's the song about without spoiling anything?
It's just a song that Britta used to listen to in high school. Like a cool like alternative song.
Like a la who? Like
maybe Portishead, but.
Why don't you just try riffing a little bit for us right now? Workshop it. Workshop that shit. I don't have any Portishead of that.
I was trying to do the Portishead.
You want music?
Yeah. What do you have? What do you have?
Let's see here. Let's do. Hang on a second. I'll give you something instrumental.
What kind of mood do you feel like?
Like heroin. Like that's the idea. Kind of like very, very laconic. Not mainstream.
Glass, blood, dirt. Needles, dreams. Bloody glass, dream, dirt.
Thank you for coming to Harmontown, everybody. DeMarge Brown, Spencer Crittenden, Aaron McGaffey. I'm Jeff Davis, your mayor, Dan Harmon, everybody. Thank you, Jane, for the booze. Dan, keep singing. Yeah.
Track Mark City. Escape, torn dress, art degree, why'd I make you such a mistake? Down the drain like a hurricane. Fingernails bleeding on the brain, cellophane. Independent label. Torn tank top.
Good night, everybody. We love you.